up? Hey, everybody. Hi, welcome. It's the George Massey Show. We're going to be talking MILF Manor and Love in Paradise tonight. Unfortunately, first things first, Kara is still sick. So everyone say a little prayer for Kara that she feels better because we miss her. Hey, geek in the kitchen. I said hi, Kimlin. Kimlin, hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So, unfortunately, I told everybody that Kara's still under the weather. So, we are missing her, but going to continue. That sounds bad, but we miss her, and hopefully she'll feel better soon so we can have her back, because I miss her commentary greatly. What did Mark say? MILF Manor was 44 minutes of my life. Mark, you know what? I actually thought that MILF Manor, this episode was really good. Like, honestly, I was thoroughly entertained.
It was funny this time. I mean, it was actually,
actually was thoroughly entertained. Like, between the dad showing up and the sons acting extremely uncomfortable, and then the mother is trying to adjust, you know, to the older version of the sons. You know, I thought it was awkward, but not to that point where you felt weird watching it, you know? Like, I have to say, though, the striptease was very uncomfortable for everybody, especially the people there, but it was uncomfortable for me, too. Like, I didn't want to see any of that, so it was a lot, but I feel bad for the sons. I think, I don't remember which one, Chris said that they're going to need therapy after this. They are. You're going to need therapy because you were never supposed to be present, father or son, when any of that was going on. So after they finish filming this, I hope that the network offers them all therapy to unpack the trauma that they have experienced, because that was a lot, you know. And I think that the idea of this show is to make you uncomfortable, and they push the envelope a lot. So I think that it would have been very easy for the men to go into the room with the women and do the striptease without the fathers and sons having to watch, right? Like, I feel like that would have been more. But that's not good TV, you know? We're not tuning in for people to feel comfortable and not be weird, but it was just a lot for me, you know? I was just like, I think that, in my opinion, I wouldn't have been able to do that. That's just a little too much trauma that I would need therapy. Because isn't it what they say? Like, a year of trauma equals 5 years of therapy? Isn't that what they say? Like, the numbers are very imbalanced. So, like, if you go through something for, like, a year, that's, like, 5 years of therapy to get through it. You know, so it's like, you got to be careful what you put yourself into.
Yeah. I don't even know. Whenever they came out and they started, I was like, there is no way possible that the dads are going to have to watch the sons and the sons are going to have to watch the dads. Yes. Like, that would be. I couldn't do that.
Right. Yeah, it's not right. Like, can you imagine? Like, I've heard people tell me stories of them accidentally walking in on their parents or whatever. And it's the most traumatic experience, you know, that anybody could ever deal with. So imagine you, like, watching that, you know. It's, and not only that, but it's like, it's recorded. So it's on TV and it's on streaming. So somebody can watch it again and watch your anguish over and over. I think that's the bad part about it. It's like, it's recorded in time. So that horrible moment that you only needed to live once, well, you didn't need to live it at all, but you only had to live once. Now it's on streaming, so people can watch it. And then when you meet someone later in life, they'll be like, hey, I saw you. You were dancing on TV with your dad. But now that's something you got to deal with, right?
Yes, that is a complete embarrassment. I was embarrassed for them. So I was like, oh, no.
So Barbie is our resident stripper on MILF. And she made it seem like, I don't know if you caught this on the first episode, that Crystal, our MILF from St. Louis, that she has a problem with her because she's a stripper. Now, I personally don't pick up on really good cues. Did you feel like Crystal was throwing shade at her when she was announcing? You know, she said it a couple of times. She said it the day when everybody arrived. She was like, I used to be a stripper. And then she said in the bedroom, the day when the men were preparing for the striptease, and she's like, I used to work in the industry. And she kept saying, you know, Crystal side-eyeing me, or Crystal is gaslighting me. Did you see that? I didn't catch it, right? I didn't see it.
No, I think that's Barbie. That has to do a lot with Barbie's self-esteem. So, I mean, because nobody was judging her. I mean, maybe she's used to people judging her because she used to be a stripper. Well, I mean, like Crystal said, I mean, she knows people that's done worse than her, and she's friends with people that's done worse than her. But I think it has a lot to do with her self-esteem. That's why Barbie's trying to grab as much attention from the guys as possible to make her feel wanted, you know, or feel beautiful.
That's interesting, because I felt like that too. I feel like for some reason Barbie doesn't feel like she has as much to offer than the other women, and I don't know why she feels that way, because she's beautiful. And I mean, maybe she feels like, oh well, she doesn't have like the professional job, you know, so she has to be like that wild girl to get the guy's attention. And I don't know why she feels like that, but being a stripper or having a past as a stripper, I don't see that as anything to be ashamed of. I know a person who is a lawyer today who was a stripper in their past, and they are a very successful lawyer. And a lot of the money they used to pay for law school came from that job. So it's like, I don't know why she feels like it's something. Well, she claims that she's not embarrassed, but she feels as though people are judging her. And it's like,
for somebody to bring it up as much as she does, she's embarrassed.
Well, it's weird that you're embarrassed of something, but you're the one that always brings it into the conversation. Usually you would avoid the conversation of a subject you're embarrassed of, but she seems to, because a lot of people were saying she likes to play the victim. So she brings it up and then she makes herself the victim in the situation, because Crystal was like, I'm trying to understand why you think that I care that you were a stripper. Because she's like, I literally don't care. She's like, well, I thought it was a little shady when she's like, I know women that have done worse, that are worse than you. So that was a little judgmental, because like saying that a stripper is bad, you know, like I didn't like the wording of it, but I do understand she was kind of drunk. And she was really annoyed. So I don't think that she meant it in the way that it came out. She was just saying, like, I know people that are probably, you know, that are escorts. You know, like, I literally don't care what you did or used to do. It doesn't change who you are today. I think that's what Crystal was trying to say. But, you know, once you get 3 or 4 drinks in you and you're annoyed, you know, you kind of just, things just flow. You know, like, I feel like Crystal was just like, girl, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to smack you. And I feel like that's just kind of how it came out. And it got pretty heated. Because at one point, Barbie called Crystal outside and she said that she was gaslighting her. And, you know, that's the term that nobody ever wants to hear you describe in as something you're doing. So, like, because Crystal was like, oh, well, how would I be gaslighting you? Your felons are valid. It's just that, like you said, they're coming from you, not me. Like, you're insecure, you know, in the fact that you used to dance or whatever. I don't have a problem with it. I don't judge you. I don't think that I'm better than you. And I feel like nobody has made her feel that way, you know, in the house, because she kept bringing it up and none of the women really judged her. I feel like she did get judged when they were fighting in the bar, because the one girl was like, she's not acting like a civilized human being, you know, like when they were arguing back and forth. But I felt like she's making herself look bad by trying to be the victim in the situation. She's not really the victim. Nobody really cared. Like at this point, I feel like the older guys, the dads, are probably turned on that she used to be a stripper, right? Like I feel like the dads were like liking them fighting. They were loving the way that they were acting. Like I felt like the dads were more perverted or open than the sons. Like the sons kind of came across as prudes in comparison to the dads, because the dads were like, yeah, this is hot. I like when women are fighting. Like, I like when they act this way. I usually find the drunkest girl with the most issues, and that's going to be my date. Like, the dads were not bothered. It was the women picking each other apart, right? And I just felt like I hated that.
Well, I don't really even see that the women picking each other apart. I mean, the main one that had a problem with everyone or everything was Barbie. I mean, she was, like, trying to gaslight people. And you know, it's like she's wanting to be center of attention, like all the ladies are saying. She's wanting to be center of attention, and to be able to do the center of attention is she keeps bringing up that she used to be a stripper, and then she's over there trying to, like, move her boobies or something, like, to grab their attention and stuff. I mean, she's not the only woman in the world that can do that. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of women that can do that. I mean, so she's the only one that's gaslighting anybody, and she's gaslighting herself.
Yeah. Did you notice there was one of the guys, I think his name was Miles, he said that him and his dad hadn't spoken in years. And then his dad shows up to the house in Canada, and like they literally have not had a conversation. And I found that to be really weird. Like, why would you sign up to be on a show with your estranged son without even having a conversation beforehand? Like, they have a lot of unresolved issues. And you could tell that the son really was hurt by the dad's actions, because he's like, he's very overbearing and he's loud. And you could tell the son was like really quiet. And you could tell that that affected him a lot. And I was just like really bothered by the fact that he was like being forced to be around his dad before he was ready. I felt like that I didn't like the fact that they dropped that bomb on him and he didn't know what was going on, because this isn't a therapy session, right? This is a dating show. I feel like that's not the right place for his dad to drop it on.
I think it's a competition thing. I think it's the, there's always two sides to each story.
Yeah,
you're right. But from what I heard from the dad and from what I heard from the son, it sounds like it's a competition thing, that the dad is trying to show the son that he's more man than he is. That's what I'm hearing, and that's what I've seen so far yesterday. But we're just on our second episode, so we shall see.
Yeah, we'll see, because I mean, the dad was like, he was he cheated on this kid's stepmom, and then the son spoke out. You know how when parents divorce, the kids take sides. And I think what bothered his dad was he took the stepmom's side and not his. And I think that's kind of where things fell apart. And see, I really hate that. I hate when parents put their children in the middle. I feel like children should be unscathed in a divorce. You should never end a relationship or not be close with a child based on how they fell when things fell apart, like where they landed. You know, because sometimes, you know, in a divorce, unfortunately, people take sides, either your family, your friends, your kids, everybody takes a side based on the information that they have. But like you just said, there's more than one side to every story. You don't always know what you're making a decision on. But unfortunately, his son is the collateral damage of an argument between him and his ex-wife. And it's a bad situation. And it's like, you can tell that they need years and years of therapy, one-on-one therapy, before they're going to be able to get back to where they need to be as father and son. So how they're going to make it in the house, I'm worried. You know, I'm kind of worried about how that's going to turn out. I don't think that a place to bring all your emotions is a dating show. You know, I feel like it's probably going to explode. I
could be wrong, but okay. You remember last season how they voted, like the women voted the mother and the son off.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking, I could be wrong, but I'm seeing if it keeps going the way it is, they're probably going to be the first ones that gets voted off, because they're not even interacting with each other. And that's what the women want to see. That's what everybody wants to see. So there's a possibility they may be the first ones to be voted off.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's true. That did happen last season. The mom and son who had the least connection in the house with anybody, you're right, they kicked them out. And somebody else came to replace them. And if you notice for the preview for next week, another woman is coming in. So I don't know how. Did you notice in the preview they said that Barbie was moving out? And I don't know what they meant by moving out of the room, because she was rooming with Crystal. Or did they mean she was moving out of the house? So I'm not exactly sure, because she didn't launch a glass at Crystal. She launched a glass like in the direction of Crystal. So I don't know if that's going to be like a reason to kick her off the show. So I don't know. Because, you know, on certain networks, like in VH1, you can throw things at people. But on other networks, you can't throw things at people. They will kick you off the show. So I don't know if this new woman showing up is the collateral of Barbie launching a cup at her.
No. I got a conspiracy going on.
Okay,
you remember right before, or well, it's for next week. One of the moms telling another mom that there's a reason why she doesn't have a real connection with someone. I'm thinking it's because she's not into men. She's actually lesbian. And that's either her girlfriend or her ex-girlfriend that's going to be showing up.
What in the hell is she doing on a dating show where she's trying to date men if she's a lesbian? Wrong,
but I have a conspiracy going on because, I mean, put two and two together. So.
She did say there's a reason why I have no connection with anyone in the house. She did say that. And that's weird. Like, not one single person that you find, you know, a connection with out of, like, shit, there's, like, what, 12 men now, right? Because there are six dudes, six dads. There's 12 guys. She can't seem to get one connection. But what would she be doing signed up? Or maybe she recently discovered she's a lesbian after her divorce. You know how many times we hear the story where a woman and a man were married together and they had kids and then they're divorced. And she, after the divorce, she starts dating women, or the man starts dating men, or vice versa. Isn't that Kenny and Armando? You know,
well, maybe she's in this relationship and she wanted to, maybe she's trying to double check to make sure that's what she wants.
Yeah, I mean, trial and error, right?
Yeah, maybe bisexual, but that's my conspiracy that I got going on. So we shall see next week.
You might be on to something, because it's really interesting the way she said it, because she's like, there's a reason, it's a secret why I have no connection with any of these people. And I'm like, what's the secret? I was like, well, what's the secret? Do you know them? Like, are you really married? Like, well, what's the secret? What do you mean? Because why are you here? You know, if you're married, you shouldn't be here. So what's the deal? So I want us, so Love in Paradise episode 3 aired, and there was a lot. There were some Kyle scenes, obviously, we're going to talk about. But I want to talk about Luke. And Medellin, I can't say it. It's a beautiful name. But I want to talk about the Batoe salon. However the hell she spelled it, right? Like the Batoe salon. So I want to talk about,
I love, what in the world?
I've never in a million years seen anything like this. And it's like she had it. She had several signs made. She had business cards. She had signs. Who was the printer? Like, you know when you send in an order, right? And they proofread it for you, and then they send you back a draft, and you say, this is what I want. So I'm thinking, like, nobody said, look, that's not the correct spelling to her. Like, I'm not saying, and I don't want to, like, question her intelligence, because I know English is her second language. So I just want to say she does a good job with this not being her first native tongue, right? Like a lot of people, me included, can only speak one language. So I'm not going to call her anything of the lines of not smart, because she can speak more than one language. I can't do that. So, but I just can't believe that she had a sign mounted on this building that is spelled wrong, and nobody said anything to her up until Luke arrived. It's just, it's fathoming to me that this happened, right? And
probably don't even know what it means. They probably don't even know what she's trying to say. I mean, but then she came out and she told Luke, well, I know how to spell it. But I'm sitting there thinking, well, if you know how to spell it, then why didn't your dumbass spell it correctly in the first place?
Did you notice after she said, I know how to spell it, she spelled it for him and she still spelled it wrong?
Yeah.
She spelled it wrong. And then she said, well, I know how to spell it in Spanish. And I was like, well, why didn't you just spell it in Spanish? You are in a Spanish-speaking country. Like, it would have just made more people would understand what it's supposed to say if you would have put it in the tongue of the land that you're in. So I am actually pleasantly surprised by the news that she has a job, because I never in a million years would have considered her to be somebody who went out and worked. So I was pleasantly surprised. I feel like I might have prejudged her, because she actually is working. There's only 20 clients a month, which is not enough. But apparently, it only costs $767 a month to run a salon. So I'm going to be starting a chain of salons. So I'll call you when I need some help, because that's very cheap. So apparently, it's cheap, but she only has 20 clients. But I was really happy to see that she went out and went to work every day, because I had a preconceived idea of her as a person, and that's not who I saw. I saw her as somebody who went shopping with somebody's credit card every day and, you know, lived a very carefree life on other people's dime. So I love the fact that she does have a dream and she's working, but obviously it was bankrolled by Luke. And I just want to say one thing. Luke is a really bad entrepreneur, because he said that he had all this money. He was a baller. He had all the money in the world. He was taking trips. He paid for her apartment. He bought her a BMW. He put this business off the ground. But not even 2 months after losing his job, he's living in his mom's garage. And it's like, if you were, right, like, how is it that quickly you have zero, nothing? Like, a good entrepreneur would have a couple of rental properties, maybe a business, because we are also learning that he's trying to start a sunglasses business, where another bad decision, he said he purchased 300 units for $11,000. So I'm not like a mathematician, but how much would you have to sell a unit if you're ever going to turn a profit? Because that's hundreds of $100, right?
Like 300 units for 11,000. Yeah, you would have to sell them, like, what are they made out of, real gold? Well, I mean,
right, like, even for a pair of Ray-Bans, you can't get more than 100, 150 bucks out of people. And those are Ray-Ban. Those are world-renowned, you know? You can buy a pair of Tom Ford glasses for a couple hundred dollars, and we're talking Tom Ford. So who's Luke? Like, you can't tell me to go buy a pair of Luke sunglasses for $500. I don't even know who Luke is. You know, like I don't know if he's the best businessman out there, the best entrepreneur. Oh, it went into the Buati store. Okay, yeah, maybe she could sell the sunglasses in the beauty. No, probably not. No, probably not. I'm going to take that back. That's too high end for the beauty salon because they only have 20 clients. But this whole thing, though, she did take the news well, though, right? When he was like, look, I lost my job. I have no more money. She was annoyed. But I think I prejudged her. I assumed that she was going to kick him out and call the next sugar daddy on her.
Oh, it's still coming. That's probably why she's not mad, because she has all these other sugar daddies that's going to be sending her money. That's probably why she don't care.
But I thought she would probably stop seeing him. Do you think that there's a possibility that she likes Luke just as a human being?
I know age doesn't matter, but she's way too young for him. I think is what she's doing is she's got the green card in sight, and she knows that she's got him wrapped around her finger, that he's going to do anything and everything she wants him to do to keep her happy. So I think that she's in it for the green card. She wants to get the green card.
But he's supposed to be moving there.
But he's not moving there.
Oh, so you...
Whether he's here, she can still get a green card.
Can she?
Yes. So wait,
if he marries her and lives there, how would he get her a green card?
Because he could bring her over here on a spousal visa and then get her a green card, and then they can go back and forth.
Oh, so it doesn't really matter where you live. It just matters if you're married.
And to an American citizen.
Oh, I understand. So it doesn't really matter where he's supposedly... Well, you know what, though? Danielle told the same thing to Johan. She's like, oh, we're going to live in America. You can tell people whatever you want to tell them until you get your paperwork filed. And then she could move to the U.S. I was really surprised at her reaction, though, because I was just like, he's telling you that the money train has ended. You should be upset. But like you said, there's probably other people on speed dial that she can call that can get the money that she needs. Because he was like, after 3 months, everything is gone. All the money is gone. Which was, I don't know, I question his business skills, because, you know, if he was making as much money as he was, he should have more than 3 months of savings, and he should have at least a property that he could live in rent-free, right? Like, I feel like...
I don't think he was making all that money. I think it was just... I think it was BS, to be honest with you, because, I mean, he said that he lost his job because he went over there all the time to Colombia to see Madeline. Okay, well, yeah, he probably did lose his job because he would go over there all the time, but I don't think he was making as much money as he was making Madeline think that he was making. There's no way possible.
Well,
he broke that fast. I don't think so.
Well, it wouldn't run out that fast, and I felt like he would have owned, like, the first thing, like, I don't know if this is like entrepreneur 101, but when you come into money and you start making money, the first thing you do is invest in real estate. Like, that's the first thing that you do. Either you buy an apartment complex, a building, a duplex. a cluster of townhomes. Like, that's like the first thing that you do, because the first thing you want to do is start making money that makes you money, right? So, and I think if he was a real entrepreneur, you know, there are plenty of entrepreneurs who lose a lot of money. They take a bad deal, they make a bad decision, and they're totally fine and they recover fine because they've invested money in other ways so that they're not at rock bottom. Like, this man says, oh, he was a baller, he had everything, he was taking flights and taking trips and he was driving these luxury cars, and then a month later he's in his mom's garage. You know, like, it doesn't happen that quick.
The vehicle he was driving was an F-150. Was like an older style, like an older year model F-150.
Which was also a company car.
Yes.
Because he had to return it. And I was like, so do you even have a car? Like, I had so many questions. I'm sorry. I had some, and I'm not knocking the company car. If you can drive in a company car, and you don't have to pay anything, all power to you, right? Like, I respect you. But what the money that you would have invested in your car, you should have been banking every month. So if ever, God forbid, that job is no longer a thing and that car is no longer a thing, the money that you saved while using that company car, you have money that you could put into your own. And I feel like he never planned ahead for anything. Everything was right now. And I think that makes you a bad entrepreneur, right? Like, I feel like when you're an entrepreneur, you're always thinking into the future. You're always, when you make a purchase, you want to know how that purchase is going to benefit you in the future. How is it going to increase in value? How is it going to bring you revenue? And I think that because I like the fact that he helped her open the salon, you know, because that is forward thinking. You know, if you have money and you can, it's disposable, put it into something that might turn a profit for you in the future. I've always been a fan of that. But I think that giving her full responsibility of it was a bad idea. You know, like, she spelled beauty wrong on the building. You know, like, if you really think that you're ever going to turn a profit, get somebody who can at least spell what you're doing, right? Yeah. Like, if you got to hire a manager that can spell, do what you got to do. You know, like, maybe she could work on Wednesdays, you know, but, like, don't put it all into her hands, because I feel like there's only so much that she can do. I'm not saying that she's not intelligent. It's just, I just don't know if she should be running a business all by herself. You know, she might need a little bit of help, you know, so help them turn a profit. And the number of clients is one thing, but imagine the books, right? Like, imagine if she's in charge of the books, what type of records do you think she's keeping? If she's keeping any, because when he asked how many
clients, she just, I mean, she's spending the money as it's coming in, just like, right. He's
supposed
to spend money as it was coming in. So
exactly what I'm thinking. Somebody hands her $40 for nails that they just had done, and she puts it in her purse. Like, I guarantee you. I'm sorry. I hate to sound this way, but I guarantee you she was not keeping good records. Because when he asked for records, he's like, how many clients did you have? She's like, like 20. Like, there was no records. I was like, you should turn on that computer and type it in and give him real numbers. You know, that's how you run a business. And I just feel like she's not equipped. And for him to throw 10 grand at her and hope that it took off, that's on him. Like, as a good entrepreneur, he shouldn't have did that either. Oh, Coco.
This is TLC, George. This is TLC. Like, I mean, we've already starting off like on a, I don't know, paradise. Love and Paradise is not Love and Paradise this season.
Well, I want to, hold on. So we didn't get Sean and Aaliyah this week, did we?
Yeah.
Did we get? Oh, we did? I don't remember their scene. Hold on, let me look at my notes.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them. What happened with them?
They went shopping for her some new clothes. And then he's having a hard time. Okay, yeah. Because he's still in love with Douglas. And she's like trying to, you know, be this Aaliyah 100% of the time now.
Yeah. You're right, we did get it. I didn't put anything down. I just remember seeing that he said he was married for 14 years to a woman, and he thinks that the transition from Douglas to Aaliyah back into a woman is going to be a lot, you know, and they went clothing shopping and she was, you know, twerking in the store, you know, and I'm just not sure that that's what he wants. You know, I feel like, I don't know. I know that there's people that are bisexual, but I feel like when people who are bisexual, they usually have a preference either left or right, right? Like, men or women, they prefer one over the other. And I'm kind of feeling like Sean's preference is more men than women.
He has, He has said it plenty of times. He wants to be with a man. He does not want to be with a woman.
So, yeah, when she's wearing a really tight dress and her butt's hanging out and she's got a BBL and she's twerking, I don't think it's going to be the vibe that Sean is looking for, right? Like, I feel like he does love Douglas, but Aaliyah is, like, not even a version of Douglas. Aaliyah is, like, a real different person. Like, she's a legit different female person. Like, she, it, you know how people have different personalities?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even feel like Aaliyah's a personality of Douglas. I think Aaliyah's a person in herself. Like, because there's not a lot of similarities. Like, when he describes Douglas as shy and to himself and doesn't want to be the center of attention, and then we're being introduced to Aaliyah, who's the complete opposite of everything that he's described. I just feel like it's going to be a lot. And then the fact that his preference is men, and then she wants to be a full woman with the long hair, the big BBL, the big boobs, the tight shorts. Like, I just feel like it's going to be too much for him. You know, and I think that he's gonna exit stage left, because at his age, at 61 years old, do you really want to start over with everything? You know, like, essentially, this is a brand new relationship between him and Aaliyah. Like, it's like he just met a different person and he's now in a relationship with this woman that he doesn't know. Unfortunately, because that's kind of how it's looking. That's kind of how it's playing out. And unfortunately, at his age, I mean, at 61 years old, you're not really looking to try new stuff. You're just trying to relax. You know, like, you're trying to do the stuff you already know you like. You're not trying to try something brand new that you just did.
Yeah, and he kept saying whenever Aaliyah was in there trying on the clothes, he kept saying, I'm just the stereotype husband. He's like, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to do that no more. I was the stereotype husband for 14 years. That's why I prefer men. With men, it's quick gel or shave, you know, pants, blue jeans, t-shirts, you know, let's go. And with a woman, it's, you know, hair, nails, makeup, like clothes, like shoes. And he said that, I mean, he has made it clear. I don't know, this is what we're at only a couple of episodes in, and he's made it clear every episode that he is not in love with a woman. He wants to be with a man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this is gonna push him. It's gonna push him to the edge until he's finally ready to let it go. So I want to talk about Alex and Adriano, because she went all the way back over to Italy. So we found out today that he wants to move to Australia. So he lives in Italy, and he spends a lot of time in Australia, and he wants Alex to pick up her life from Texas, move to Australia with him, but she prefers Italy. And I mean, anybody who's been to Italy and has seen Italy and has been through the culture and the food and the sights would tell you you would want to move to, if you had the opportunity, right? You would want to move to Italy over Australia. Australia's beautiful too, but I get where she's coming from. But in my opinion, why exactly would she move across the world for a man who can't commit to just her? You know, like, I feel like moving a city away is a lot for a man who can't commit to you. Like, look at Sophie. Sophie moved from the UK to Los Angeles, to Austin, Texas, with a man who has two homes. He got a whole phone, right? Like, that's asking a lot, you know? So I feel like she really needs to put her foot down and say, look, if you want to be having threesomes for the rest of your life, it's not going to be with me, you know? So you have to choose. And she kind of did. She was like, which one is more important to you, me or threesomes? And he said both. And I think that was her chance to exit. You know, like, that was the wrong answer. Like, you ever heard a woman and a man fighting and you're just, like, eavesdropping and he says the wrong thing and you're worried for his safety? I was like, I'm worried for your safety. And I was like, you said the wrong thing. Now I'm just worried for your safety, because that's the wrong thing that you say to a woman when she asks you that question. Like, you always say, hey, Donna, you always say that she's the most important person in your life and you would choose her over anyone else. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be adventurous, you know, but I feel like threesomes are a treat. There's something that you do, like, on your 10th anniversary, or, you know, after y'all overcome
no,
a milestone.
No,
like,
George.
It's not something that you do all the time. I mean, be a little open-minded.
Threesome. You never do a threesome. You never do none of that. And on top of that, how is it going to be okay whenever it's only one-sided? He wants all of the satisfaction. So what is she going to, what satisfaction is she supposed to get out of it?
Yeah, I understand that too. Yeah, because it's always going to be a compromise.
He said that a man could not be involved, but women could be involved. child, but not a man. So why didn't, if he wants her to give in, then he's got to satisfy her needs as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. If he wants her to compromise for him, then you're right. It should be every other threesome. One person gets their way. He gets a woman this time. She gets a man the next time. You know, you're right. I mean, it is what it is. If you want to be fair, because I used to say that a lot when I watched the Secret Sister Wife show. It's like, so what do the women get? Because the men get all the wives and they get to court women and they get all the benefits. And then the men's like, they get a sister. And I'm like, don't nobody want no sister. They might already have a sister. You know, like, what do they get? Like, you get to have.
They want a man. They want a man that can give them something that you can't give them. Just like a man wants a extra woman or extra women in his bed because the woman he's got cannot or will not give them certain pleasures that other women will. Well, it's the same thing with a woman. I mean, if you want to have a threesome, well, then give me a man that's going to do something to me that you do not want to do, or you cannot do, or you refuse to do. Yeah. It goes both ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their relationship is doomed. She said they broke up twice over threesomes, that literally the same exact issue. So at this point, why she's in Italy, I don't know. Like, kind of like with Ashley and Manuel, she was like, I don't know why we don't get along and we're like oil and vinegar, but we're going to get married. You're like, I don't know why you don't do that. You know, well, that's the opposite of what you should be doing. Like, why are you in Italy knowing that he's trying to sleep with your cousin? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand. Like, there's no hope. You know, like I always tell people, hold out, keep hope alive. You know, keep hope alive. There's no hope. Put the candle out. Put it out. Put some water on that candle. That fire is dead. He's never going to change. He said he had his first threesome at 28. He's 33, and it's the only thing he can think about, right? It's literally the only thing he can think about. He can't even think of life with one woman. It has to be a different woman. Hi. Oh, so I want to get into this Kyle stuff because...
Oh, you're disgusting.
So apparently... He wears shorts, and the reason why he wears shorts and no underwear. Because his balls will overheat. These are his words, not mine, guys. This is not how I speak. He said his balls would overheat, and he has to constantly adjust them. I want to say in the scene of like less than 20 seconds, he adjusted them like 20 times. Like it was almost like. He was a child, like, you know, like he had no control. Because I was like, you can't do that in public. Like, no woman is going to accept you dressing and acting this way. And I kept asking myself, like, why does he keep wearing like swimming shorts when he's not going swimming? And I guess it's because he wants his areas to breathe or whatever. And it's just, this whole thing is confusing to me. And then what really got to me was Annie asked him, because apparently he went to Australia, and when he was in Australia, he went like kind of dark on her. Like he wasn't answering messages. He wasn't talking to her as much. She had a feeling that it was because he was inseminating someone. So she asked him, I know this sounds so weird. What are we even talking about anymore? And so she asked him, and he's like, I don't remember. And I'm like, but you do though, because you told us on episode one, you keep a notebook of every woman that you've ever met.
You have a pillow on the floor already.
Right? I think that was in London. Right before he got there, he was in London.
Wherever he was at, he was getting the pillow ready on the floor because he said that she had to be on her head for a couple of minutes. But can we back up just a minute? Can we talk about the clothes that he had on that don't even fit him? When he sat down, his whole butt crack was out. I mean, can we talk about that? Well, and the little crop top he had on?
Well, yeah, the way that he dresses is really... It's disturbing. Like, it's almost like he doesn't have a sense of style. But then I was thinking about it, and the way that he reacts, because Annie asked him, she was like, well, why won't you stop the natural insemination? And he said something that really made me scratch my head. He was like, donating sperm is the most important thing in my life. And I was like, I can't understand, like, it would go above and beyond like a relationship or being a father or your career or traveling. You know, there's just so many. Oh, Donna says that his shirts are from Baby Gap. They might be. They might be. They're very sure. I don't. I'm really bothered by him and his lack of self-awareness. Like, when he says the things that he says and that he does the things that he does, he doesn't seem to see the problem. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I adjust my balls 50 times because it's hot. And I'm like, but you do realize that you can't just walk around in public adjusting your balls every 5 seconds, right? Like, you do. But he doesn't really see the issue or error in his ways. And it makes me wonder if he's okay. Right? Like, it just makes me wonder, like, is he
okay? No way that man is okay. There is no way possible that man is okay. Like, and if he says one more time, well, in America or us Americans, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Angela used to say that stuff all the time. Well, in America, or I'm an American, or us Americans. No, because me as an American, I'm not like that. Well, so, I don't know who he's talking about.
I wear underwear because it's nasty to not, right? Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be as real as possible. It's nasty to not wear it. Like, imagine wearing your clothes without underwear and then, like, no.
Commando, right,
like, no, that is, unless you're going swimming and you're wearing swimming trunks, you dress appropriately. Oh, and Alex, who's from Texas, who's also an American, guess what she did when she got to Italy? She took a shower and changed her clothes. Because that's what we do. We're not
exactly
disgusting. She took a shower, she changed into something very presentable to go out, you know, with her man, and like she had some self-awareness in there. And it's like, I don't understand how he's in such high demand by women, because it's like, okay, so the first thing I thought of, if you don't wear underwear and or whatever, wouldn't you have like odor down there? Like, I feel like with nothing there to absorb the sweat, wouldn't that just, the whole area just be stanky? Like, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it just be gross? And he doesn't
shower. Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I mean, but wouldn't this stuff like be all hanging out and stuff? I mean, because that's what underwear are there for too. I mean, like, to hold it up. I mean, yeah. And he's wearing loose underwear and then he's like sitting down with his legs open. I mean, is this stuff just gonna flop out?
I don't know. What are we even talking about anymore? Like, this season has really made me question, like, what are we doing? What are we even watching anymore? Because I used to think that we were watching reality TV. Now I'm not even sure. Like, I'm not even sure what we're even doing anymore. Because I'm like, now we're talking about a man who doesn't wear underwear, who can't stop touching his balls on TV, and the most important thing in his life is donating sperm. And like, what are we even talking
and
about
anymore? Like, food like a pig.
I can't. And it's like, I want to, at first, at the very beginning, I was like, well, good for him for wanting to help women who are in a bad predicament. But now I'm questioning, like, God, I hope none of these women are falling for this, right? Like, now that's where I'm like, oh, my God, I hope these women are not actually going through with this, right? Like, I'm like, in all honesty, don't do it. Like, you don't need a baby that bad, like, for real. Like, don't even do it. Like, I can't even imagine. And then the fact that he said that Annie would have been his first ever relationship. Did you catch that? He said that this is his first ever real relationship. Dee Dee, he's 33 years old. You mean to tell me that you didn't have any relationships? I had a relationship in the sixth grade. Like, what is he talking about? Like, I had a girlfriend in the sixth grade. What does he mean? He's 33 years old and he's never had a girlfriend in his life. That is weird. That says everything to me. Like, that is like, you know, have you ever seen a red flag? That red flag is like you're walking down the street and you know how a tire flies off an 18-wheeler and comes flying at you? That's the red flag. Like, it's so powerful, right? It just knocks you clean across the street. That's how powerful the red flags are to me, because I was like, come on now. You have never had a girlfriend in your whole life and you're 33 years old. That doesn't even sound right. That sounds like Colt. Remember Colt? Colt and Larissa, he never had no girl. Like, that's just weird. You have to have dated somebody. And it's like, to spend your whole life impregnating women, but you can't figure out how to have a normal relationship with one, says a lot, right? Like, you don't even know how to talk to them. Every conversation with him is about sperm. Why the fuck is every conversation about sperm?
Or credits. sperm or credits.
Yeah, like, can you imagine, Didi, if you had you were on a date and you wanted to go out and have like normal dinner conversation because you're a normal person, and the conversation is either about sperm, balls, or points. No matter what you say, you could be like, oh my gosh, the weather's really nice. He's like, well, because of the weather, my balls are sweaty. And like, can you imagine you can't have a conversation? Everything always goes back to his balls. Like, what is happening?
I don't know. I don't even think anybody that watches this would even want to even try to see me sitting at a table with someone like Kyle.
Well, you would get up and walk away, right? Like, after the third bringing up of sperm or balls, you would be like, you know what? This isn't going to work out. You know what? You have zero vocabulary outside of your crotch, and this is just not going to work out. Because the fact that he can't have like a normal conversation, because like there are people who have weird fetishes, right? Like, I hate to call it a fetish, but that's what it is. I'm sorry, it is what it is. It's not a hobby. He likes to say it's not, no, it's a fetish. There are people who have a fetish. Like, there's people who like BDSM, but every time you sit at the dinner table, they don't talk about BDSM. A lot of people who like it, you don't even know. If y'all never date, you would never even know. And I feel like that's how his weird fetish should be. Don't bring it up. You know, like, this is the reason why you've never had a normal relationship, because within the first 5 minutes of you meeting a woman, you're talking about it. And I guarantee you, this is why you've never had a woman agree to date you. And why, for the life of me, Annie has agreed to not only date this man, but to go on TV with this man, I will never understand. Like, I don't know if it's for the money or what, but she seems like a decent, comprehending human being. So I can't even imagine what the hell is going on with her.
Well, let's talk what just Coco Puff just said. Coco Puff, that is that's a good point. How he was brushing her hair and she kept telling him how she likes it rough.
Yeah. I caught that too. And I was like, is she talking about hair still? Because I feel like we're talking about something else. Because I was like, the rougher you brush somebody's hair, the more hair you're going to rip out their head. So I think you're talking about something different. So I was like, so wait, is Annie weird too? Like, is that the thing? Like, is she a weirdo too? Because she plays it off she plays it off a little better than he does. Like, for him, within a couple of seconds of meeting him, you know, that dude weird. But like Annie, it's very possible that she's just as weird as him. She masks it a little better. Like, maybe she's turned on by how weird he is, but she just, it's more in private than you know, for him, everything is just
more psycho than he is, and she just don't want to show it yet. So, and then she said that she didn't like normal guys because normal guys are boring. She likes Kyle because she don't know which Kyle she's going to get each day. He's fascinating.
That's not fascinating. That's called bipolar. There's a medical term for that. If you don't know who you're going to get each day, that person is bipolar. They're not interesting. They're not adventurous. They're bipolar. And a lot of people are on medication for that because it's very hard to manage. So if that's what she's looking for, you're right. She's a closet weirdo. She's weird. And there's nothing wrong. Like, look, I don't judge people for anything. If you want to be weird, if you want to be polyamorous, if you want to suck toes like Jasmine, I don't judge anybody. I don't want to do those things, but I'm not going to tell you you can't, right? Like, you can do whatever you want as long as we don't have to talk about it at dinner, right? Like, I feel like that's the issue with Kyle. He want to talk about it at dinner. Like, you can do whatever you want. Don't bring it up while I'm trying to eat, because that's nasty. That's my whole thing. Like, I just want you to be normal about it.
Yes, because we've done got too much trauma. Like, now I can't even look at a bowl of soup anymore because how he was over there slurping it with like a pig. I mean, it's bad enough that we have all this other trauma from Big Ed and the flower and some other things that was going on too. So, I mean, come on. TLC got to stop traumatizing us.
It's almost like they enjoyed it. And actually, Kenna, you're right. This is addiction season between Kyle and his sperm and Adriano with his threesomes. I feel like they're focusing in on addictions, like weird fetish addictions or whatever. And I feel like it's fine, you know, but we would just love to have a little normalcy in there as well. Like, I know we complained we were sick of seeing the same people. Now I feel like they took it a little too far. Like, we got all new people, but now it's just nobody is normal. There isn't a remote feeling of normalcy in any of the relationships. Everybody is just way out there. Like, Sean and Aaliyah, Sean is dating a woman who used to be a man. Like, there's no normalcy anywhere. Like, everything is so far out and far-fetched. Like, I feel like they took it to the extreme. And now I feel like we're watching, what was that show? It used to come on, I can't remember what it was, but it was My Strange Addiction.
Yeah.
You ever watch My Strange Addiction? I feel like everybody on this season of Love in Paradise could also be on My Strange Addiction for the same thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like that's probably where Kyle was probably supposed to end up. He should have been on My Strange Addiction. But
yeah, Kyle and Adriano.
Right. Like, because I feel like this is not a dating show. I feel like we're on My Strange Addiction and we're watching. I remember I was watching it and there was a guy who was dating his car. And then there was like a woman who was eating the you know what? And you sit in your car and your seats are soft. Whatever the foam is in the car seat, she was eating it.
Yeah.
And she ate like all of it and had to buy a new car because there was no more foam in the seats. Like, and I feel like Kyle and Adriano would fit in just fine on that show because they are so addicted, like to the point where, because I feel like he doesn't even have it in him to have a normal monogamous relationship because he's experienced a threesome. And I'm not knocking threesomes. They're great. I'm not gonna discuss if I've had it or not, but I'm just gonna say, I'm not gonna knock it.
How would you know they're great if you ain't never had one? Let's back up, George.
I have zero comment on that whatsoever. I just think that they're great.
Me and you go have a conversation.
I think everybody should try it once. And if you like it,
oh my gosh.
And if you like it, do it every 10 years. Don't do it like Adriano and do it every 15 minutes. I'm telling you, it's going to turn into something that you don't want it to be. And then you're never going to be able to get a relationship that lasts. I'm just going to be real. Like, don't, it's not something that you're supposed to be doing every weekend. Right? Just like, you know, while people say, oh, I drink socially. That's fine. That's totally fine. Don't go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and get shit-faced drunk. That's going to turn into an issue. Right? Like, just like threesomes. Do it every few years. Right? That's totally fine. Every few years. Don't do it every weekend. I guarantee you it's not going to turn out the way you think.
You left me speechless, George. I don't even know what to say.
I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, this person says experience. Oh, Connor says experience it at least once, like car sex. Yeah, only one time, because once you hit your head on the center console a few times, you're not going to want to do it again. You're not going to want to do it again. But you got to at least try it, and then maybe buy an SUV, and then you might enjoy it a little more, right? Right?
Never know.
Yeah. No, you never know. Who knows? Or some people are bed people. It should be in the bed. Or Luke and Medellin, he said they do it everywhere. In public, in bathrooms, on the beach, in cars, you know, wherever. Some people, and also, don't do that either because you can get arrested. If you do it, be very careful, guys. We don't want to have to bail you out. Like, be very careful. Be mindful of where you are. Everybody don't want to see you do that. Just like everybody don't want to see Kyle adjusting his balls. No. Everybody don't want to see you do that, right? Like, so make sure you're doing it somewhere where it's public, but not like public. You know, like, don't do it. Everybody can see you. Everybody don't want to see that. Oh yeah, Ashley and Manuel. I forgot about Ashley and Manuel. They're the public bathroom freaky people, where they see a public bathroom and they see something way different than what I see. I see.
And the cameras. And they don't mind if the cameras is getting half of what they doing in the bathroom neither. So they don't
like
care.
Two wild rabbits. Like, two wild rabbits. Like, they do not care. Like, see, I can't. Like, I'm a germaphobe. When I walk into a bathroom, the first thing I notice is the smell of germs. So, like, for me to be turned on in a public bathroom, you got, like, zero, maybe, like, 3% chance. It's not going to happen. The first, I walk in, and I'm like, I smell urine and germs. Like, it's just nasty. I can't. Like, it hits me. You know how you walk into the Florida heat and the humidity smacks you across the street? That's how the germs smack me. It's just like, ooh, I smell disease. You know, like, it's bad. I can't. So I hats off to people who can go into a public space like that and able to pull that off. I would not. I would have to shower for like a full day if I did that. Like a full day, like legit, don't even turn off the water. Just leave me under the water for a full day. Then I make it okay.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so we're gonna come back next week. Did we talk about everybody? It was Sean and Aaliyah who went shopping. It was Luke and Madeline and the Beauty Salon. And it was, who else did we, no, we talked about them too. We were talking about Adriano and Alex. And
And Kyle and Annie. And Kyle, so yeah, we got everybody.
Yeah, so yeah, we got through it. So we got through it, guys. Feel very good that we got through this. This was a very strange conversation to be discussing. I don't think I've ever said the word balls that many times in one night. But we got through it. We got through it, guys. We did it. I'm proud of us for being able to get through that. We had to see a blacked out or a blurred out ass crack tonight of Kyle, which was uncalled for and unnecessary. Like, I feel very proud of us for getting through this, right? Like, this is very trying for everybody.
Yeah. Yep. We survived another podcast.
Yeah, we survived. Guys, feel good about it. We survived. And, we were trending in Canada and Norway last week. So hello, Canada and Norway. Love you. Thanks for listening in on the audio version on Spotify. We love you. I apologize in advance in Canada because I know you guys are very respectful and you're not going to appreciate how many times we use the word balls tonight. I apologize in advance, but just brace yourself. I will mark this episode as explicit just so you're aware ahead of time. All right, so we'll be back Sunday to discuss Happily Ever After. Episode 9. We're going to be 9 episodes in. No Bilal and Chyna still. And no Angela and Michael. But Ed and Liz are breaking up for real next week.
About time.
So fingers crossed. They're gone. Forever. I mean, not forever. I don't want anything to happen to them. That's like not on my TV. I don't want them to go anywhere.
I don't want them on the TV anymore. Yeah. No more TV.
Yeah. No like sinister way, but like just no more on TV. They could totally be fine and live their life and do whatever they want, just not on my TV. And then we'll be back to talk about Love in Paradise and MILF Manor, which I'm actually enjoying a lot this season. I know Mark from Match Me Abroad, he hates this season, but I'm actually really entertained. I really like it. So
me too. So far.
Yeah, so far I like it, and I feel like Crystal might beat up Barbie, so it might be good that Barbie left. She might have left, but I think did you see when Barbie was packing her stuff and Kelly walked in the room and she's like, you better get your shit. And I was like, oh, it's getting serious. I think that they might fight. So we're going to see next week. Either they got her out of the house before she got hurt, or maybe she got hurt, then she got out of the house. Either way, we'll watch. But make sure you guys are following Dee Dee. She's tagging this video. Oh, everybody say a quick prayer for my bestie, Kara. She is under the weather and we miss her. We want her back. So we want her, first of all, to feel better. Then after that, we want her back on the show. So I know we missed her this week, but we really, really want her back soon. So hopefully she'll feel better soon. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com, Inway Kitchen Podcast. Type in the George Massey Show, and that's on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, and all those other streaming services, Amazon Music, all those. And we'll talk to all of y'all Sunday. Thanks for staying up. And everybody have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.